Welcome to the Technology Committee meeting, everyone. Welcome to the people in the hotel, the people on Zoom, the people on ACB Media 8, and our future podcasters. So today, we have our room opener and monitor is Joyce Feinberg. Monica Zvopa is our host, and our streamer is Darcy Bernard. And Ryan Cordell has been managing our Zoom room, and we're so appreciative of that. So now I'm going to introduce you to Jason Goldfield. He is our Technology Committee Chairperson, and they have a wonderful program for us today. Take it away, Mr. Jason.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Katie. My name is Jason Goldfield. I'm the Chair of the Technology Committee, and today we are here to discuss a subject that is extremely important to any of us anytime we go on the internet. And whether you connect with a computer, tablet, smartphone, or any other device that goes out on the internet for any purpose, for any reason, we are all susceptible to cyber security. So we have a wonderful panel of presenters here today. And keep in mind that we're going to be covering a variety of different types of cybersecurity. Unfortunately, due to time, we're unable to really go into detail of any one subject or topic. So we're going to be going at a pretty fast clip today. And of course, we'll have questions at the end. So I'm going to use an old saying that my wife uses a lot, and I'm sure a lot of you have heard of. Buckle up, buttercup, because here we go. We're going to be passing this microphone around. So here to give us a brief introduction of cybersecurity is Deborah Kendrick.
I work for part of the federal government, the National Library Service. And as anyone knows who works for government-related agencies, we frequently have to take security tests. So we watch videos and listen to recordings, and then we're tested. And it's very helpful, and I'm just going to throw out a few of the very obvious things. They're obvious, and yet if they were obvious to everyone, there wouldn't be billions of dollars lost every year by people who are scammed on the internet. So as Jeff Bishop reminded everybody earlier, remember that nothing is private on the internet. So if you have a computer, an email address, you search the web, you buy things online, your email address and your information is kind of accessible everywhere. So a couple of the blatant things that you can watch out for. If you get an email or a text message that says, for example, "We have your package at USPS. You need to pick it up. Click here for information." Or, "We have just received your $150 at Amazon. Please click here for your receipt." Or, "We have just received your Apple sign-in. Please click here for more information." You get the gist. They always want you to click here, because what's going to happen when you click there is you're going to be asked for information that's personal, that's yours, and you're going to lose a lot of money and time and other things. So the most important thing that you can come away with today, I think, is do not believe any text or email that says it wants you to click a link in the body of that message. If your bank has something to tell you, they will ask you to log in, to go to the website through your own browser and log in with your login credentials. Or your credit card company will do the same. And lately there are some others. I mean, I've gotten all of the ones I just mentioned many, many times, and I just delete them. I usually get them on the iPhone. And, you know, just one little finger swipe down, delete, goodbye, delete, and report as junk. But there are other ones that all of us in here, I think, would not easily be fooled by, such as, if you are in trouble for paying your tolls,
Or I've gotten that one three times in the last month, and I just crack up because, like, I wish I could drive to pay tolls, but, or that your vehicle must be renewed. At any rate, again, if you take one thing away today, let it be, do not click on any link in an email you were sent. Thank you.
I am Shelley Sawyer, and I'm going to talk briefly about phone calls and texts. And I'm going to have to think fast and fly by the seat of my pants because Debbie stole most of my presentation. I'm really taking not so much a technology approach, but a common sense approach. If there's any left, and I think common sense is going away real fast. So if you have some, use it quickly. A lot of things are obvious, but some things are not. These people are getting better and better and better. And I got a phone call one day, and it said, "Hello, Shelley." That was scary. And then it said, "This is Rachel." And then I realized it was a recorded message, and she was trying to get me to give her credit card information. "We have a problem with your account." Well, that rang alarm bells because she mentioned no bank. She didn't mention anything that was, and I said to her, I said something, and she just kept talking. So I realized that's a recording. She's not even there. Another thing you can do that will usually tell you if it's a recording. If you pick up the phone and you say hello and you don't hear anything for a while, it's a recording. Hang up quick. I remember one day I got a text message and it said, "This is Fifth Third Bank," and there really is a bank called that, and they wanted, well, I don't bank there, so that was like, no. But then I get another one the next day, "This is from Bank of America." Well, that's where I bank. So I looked at that very carefully, and of course it said click here. So I'm like, no, I'm not going to click here. Bank of America doesn't do that. But there are those things that you have to listen and you have to read very carefully because they are getting better and better all the time. And I fear that the day might come when we really won't know what's real. AI is a good thing, but it has its risks. So, I really don't have anything else to add at the moment, and so if there are questions later, and besides, how much time have I used? We'll go on and see if there are questions. I'll be happy to talk to you more. Who's next?
Sure.
You.
Hello, everybody. Hi, this is Sherry Moffness Mullengrap. I'm here also to talk about the reason why when you go on the in your email and you see a thing that says, you know, and we do a lot of delivery because we can't get, you know, it's hard to get people to take us somewhere, get your ride, pay to go places. So we obviously have a lot of delivery. And those come through UPS, the post office, which is, the postal service and FedEx and other things. And so you'll get an email and it says you're expecting a delivery, which we usually are, and it's in like the other ladies were saying, it says click here. When you go to that, we don't see what these websites look like, but if you can see them, they look just like the actual website. This is not a scam just that fools blind people, it fools the sighted, because these websites may have all the pictures and the colors and even the postal service says buy stamps, click here. Of course, they know you probably won't because you're looking for your packet. It probably doesn't go anywhere. So you click here and what do they say? You need to put in $1.43 just to verify it's you and we will send your package. And so you're going to type your card information in. I'm moving it back. They're going to type your card information in and just they're going to just take $1.43 out. No, they're not. They're going to take thousands of dollars out. So what we need to do is to call, not from the numbers that are on the website that you or you clicked on, or not from the email number. Call the bank, call the post office with the number you know, go into the bank. It might be a hassle, but guess what? It's cheaper than spending thousands of dollars clicking on if you really think that's your package or whatever. And don't just assume, well, but it looks just like it. And how you say, well, it must be the UPS website because it says so. How can they say that? Because they add one little dot to the UPS, it's U.PS. Or Walmart is WALLMART instead of one L. And this is how they get away with this. And don't think, oh, it must be because all the things on it look right. It's a scam website, and they put one little character, and they've made this website up, and it's not even real. So just that's what we're trying to say. Don't trust it. Use phone numbers that you know. Go to your post office, to the UPS, call Walmart, you know, itself. Whatever the deal is, don't trust what you see on the email or the web. And don't ever click on these things because it could send a virus into your computer. Next.
Good morning. I'm here to talk a little more about hardware items. I work for the federal government. I work for the Internal Revenue Service. And just like was mentioned earlier, we are required to take a security awareness test every year, cybersecurity. And so one of the aspects that we have to go over, which I think a lot of people don't really take a lot of time to think about, are the hardware items that you can plug into your computer. Let me tell you, if somebody were to walk up to you in a parking lot and hand you a little flash drive, like the one I have in my hand that says in Braille, IRS, they could make up, you know, little flash drives like this, just hand them out at will, and then guess what? All your vital information is gone. Just like that, because you plugged it into your computer. I also have here in my hand a little cable. It's just a USB cable, but they could embed chips in it to gather your information. And then I have one of these little dongles that you use to connect your keyboard, your wireless keyboard. It looks pretty innocent. You know, you just plug it into a USB port. But if you bought this keyboard from some unknown source, you might be in a big world of trouble because all your information could be hijacked and compromised. So my point here is just be very careful with the items that you obtain to interact with your computer, because you just never know if you get it from some unknown source where they can, you know, basically hijack whatever you have. It's going to be the end of, you know, for me, I put so much information in my computer. I call it my brain because I don't always have the capacity anymore to remember everything I need to remember. So I've got lots of little notes. And by the way, that's a big mistake. You should always back that stuff up because I got in trouble last week. The computer that I used most of the time, I came home and it had crashed and I can't recover it. So, yeah, but my point here is just be very careful what you, you know, you plug in. Where I work, we're provided with a laptop, and one of the aspects that they tell us, I mean, that we have to be aware of is we are not, absolutely not allowed to plug anything into our computers. We can't use wireless headsets, wireless keyboards, or anything that would require interaction with hardware. Thank you.
I'm going to talk more about email phishing, email scams. Deborah talked a little bit about them earlier. But there's another scam where you'll get an email that looks like it's from somebody you know and at asking you to do something for them. Like, and at, an example is a story about somebody that I know. This person got an email that looked like it was from somebody that they knew, saying something like, it's my niece's birthday, and I need to get her a gift card, and I got to do it today. Can you get a gift card from Amazon? And was that really the person that they knew? Nope. It was actually a scam. And so this person spent about $200 on a gift card. And it turned out that this person found out later that the person that they knew didn't actually send the email. So they're basically out a couple hundred dollars. So if you get emails like that, my suggestion would be to like contact the person and like a phone call or text or something like that, saying, did you send me this email? And if they say no, then you know it was a scam. So that's another type of email scam that you might get.
I am here to talk about VPNs, and that stands for VPNs, which stands for Virtual Private Network. So what is a VPN, and how does it protect you when we go out and we're susceptible to all these scams and frauds and everything else that we've talked about here today? So a VPN allows you to take whatever device you're on, whether it be a computer, a smartphone, a tablet, or any other such device, and virtually change your location. So you can't really change your physical location. So in this case, for us in the room, we're here at the South Bank Hotel, people listening on Zoom or ACB Media, you can't change your location, but we can change our virtual location. So when a VPN is really used quite a bit is when you're on what they call unsecured internet connections. So for us that are here in the room today at South Bank Hotel in Jacksonville, most of us are connected to the free Wi-Fi, which we're grateful to the hotel for having. However, it's an unsecured network. Now, most people at home, including myself, who have our Wi-Fi at home, we have secure internets with passwords and different layers of security and whatnot, and that's all great. So that keeps a lot of people out from going on our network and spying on what we're doing and the whole nine yards. But when you're in a place like where we are today in this hotel, or you go to any public building, or even places like McDonald's, Starbucks, various restaurants, they all offer, join our free Wi-Fi. And yes, it is free, there is no charge. However, we are susceptible to people spying on us and watching us, whoever chooses to, and seeing exactly what we want to do. So we use a VPN. So there are several VPNs that are out there, and I don't have a comprehensive list, but one of the ones that I use, and this is not an endorsement for them, and I'm not saying this is the best one out there, but it works for me, is a VPN called Surfshark. So it's pretty popular, it's very widely used. The thing I like about it is that for one price, it is not free, okay? VPNs are generally not free. However, they are very inexpensive. So like, for example, I believe I caught like a special that they were running where it was something around like $47 for a 2-year subscription, plus you got like 4 extra months for free. So, and they do have monthly subscriptions with these programs as well. So when I use a VPN, and the great thing about Surfshark is that you get unlimited connections for unlimited devices. So some of them more have limited you to how many connections, but Surfshark in particular doesn't. But and the others have their advantages and disadvantages. So when I use my VPN, I'm able to connect my device using the app. So like I have my iPhone here, and I can pick a location that's otherwise not where I'm at. So they have different locations within the United States, or there are many, many locations throughout the world that I can connect to as well. So if I connect to, say, a VPN site on Surfshark through the UK, somewhere in the UK, or somewhere in Europe, or somewhere in Asia, doesn't matter, that would appear where I'm at. So in addition to protecting our location where we're at, which is very important, we also have other advantages that aren't related to cybersecurity, but you do get when you use a VPN. So anybody, and most people who use any type of technology devices, we have some type of streaming service like Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, any of those. Okay, that's a whole other topic. But what the great thing is, when you use a VPN, you are able to get access to their library of those streaming services. So there's a lot of content that is not available here in this country. However, that is available through those different streaming services through when you connect a VPN to those countries as well. And some people would say, oh, wait, that's illegal, or that's not right, and that's not true. Actually, it's perfectly legal. Another thing is that some people, and I haven't really found this myself, but if you have a VPN and you connect to a country that's a little less economically not as developed, some people who say they book travel, some people say they can go on the travel sites when they connect a VPN to a country that, like I said, is not as economically developed, and they can sometimes get better travel deals using a VPN as well. So there's many, many advantages of using a VPN, but most importantly, you should use a VPN when you're on an unsecured network to protect your information and protect your location. So that's what's really important. And I really invite you to look at the different VPNs. There are standalone VPNs. There are some that are integrated into other packages and other programs. One is called Malwarebytes. I'm sure some people who have either use Malwarebytes or you have heard of it. Either way, that's another great tool. And since we're speaking of cybersecurity, that's something else that these other programs like Malwarebytes and some other types of tools like that can protect us against ransomware and malware, because that's how these attackers go after us. They use malware, they use ransomware, they use different types of software and other such tactics to really gain our information. So I definitely invite you to check those out. So, okay, and I think that's the end of our agenda as far as our topics go. Do we have any questions either here in the room or on Zoom that we can answer? The name of the VPN. So that's Surf, like you're surfing, S-U-R-F, Shark, like shark, like the fish. So like shark in the ocean. You're welcome. Okay. Any other questions here in the room? Okay. So basically he was asking about two-factor authentication. And that's something that's really, really important. And while we have a few extra minutes, I would like to bring that up. As far as two-factor authentication, that's another important way to protect yourself with cybersecurity. There's many, many websites and services that we use on a pretty regular, if not everyday basis. And a lot of them have an option called two-factor authentication. So I personally recommend, that doesn't mean that you should all run out and do this, but I personally recommend, and I use this when it's possible, when a service like Facebook, Microsoft services do this as well, Amazon has this, a lot of different online services have this, different software packages. They have where there's an extra layer of security called two-factor authentication. And basically, when you go to log into the service, whatever it is, they want to make sure that you are who you say you are, because there's so many people out there to steal and try to take our information. And these services are wise to that, and they want to make sure that we are who we say we are. So they'll say, okay, to authenticate you or make sure that you're the right person, we're going to send a code to your phone through a text message, usually with a 6-digit number, or they're going to send you an email with a 6-digit number. And those are called OTPs or one-time passwords. So a lot of people think that they see this number and they go, oh, I have to enter this every single time. Well, there's no need to remember those numbers or anything once you use it. So you have to enter those, usually those 6 digits. There's occasion when there's a little bit more, usually it's 6. And once you authenticate yourself with that OTP or one-time password, then you will have full access to your account. So in the world that we live today, with so many people out there trying to steal information through the topics that we discussed today and many others that we haven't even began to even scratch the surface on, anytime there's two-factor authentication, you should definitely, definitely use that for your protection. Any other questions here in the room? So basically, the same gentleman was asking about CAPTCHAs. Amanda's going to talk about CAPTCHAs, because that's really, really important. Hang on.
That's annoying, isn't it?
There is an extension that you can get for Google for audio CAPTCHAs. Or actual CAPTCHAs, and you download it and you let it install, and every time from then on that you go to a site that requires you to address a CAPTCHA, it will automatically let you check that box that says I'm a human, not a robot, and then you can go ahead and click continue or submit or whatever it is, you know, to continue on to log into the website or whatever application. So I am not as well prepared because I can't remember the name of it, but I'll post it to FCB if you all want.
This is Deborah, and I thought of one thing we haven't talked about, and that is the good old-fashioned phone call. And I think, you know, it's important to remember that Microsoft is not going to call you. The IRS is not going to call you. The FBI is not going to call you. But people will call, posing as those. And I've had a personal experience that's been going on for 2 years now. I received letters from Tampa General Hospital and the Moffitt Cancer Institute in Tampa, about a month apart from each other. Both agencies were hacked. So they said, your personal information was probably compromised. So they provide you with a free year of identity theft protection, blah, blah, blah. So that's great. That's great that they let me know. But I admit that I didn't catch on right away. I started getting these calls from people who would ask for me, and I'm always very wary and I say, why are you looking for her? And then they say, well, we are from the medical, and they make up different, we're from your medical organization, we're from your medical foundation. Sometimes they say we're from Medicare, but I've gotten probably 25 of these calls, and I'm sure that if I responded to them, they're going to get my credit card. And, you know, their aim is to get my money because they think, oh, they say, your pain device is ready to ship. That's because they got my name from Moffitt Cancer, right? So they figure I must be in pain and they'll, you know, it'll be an easy mark. So I'm just saying that's...
What?
Oh, yeah. That's another one. I haven't personally had that one, but
I don't have any kids.
Yeah, right. Like, I don't have any car. Yeah, actually, a neighbor of mine, a couple years ago, I got an email. I didn't know her well, and it said, I'm stranded in Europe. Please, can you PayPal me some money? And I called her, and she said, nope, everybody's getting it. I don't know who, you know, so... I guess, you know, the best takeaway from all of this is if somebody calls you and you don't know them, you don't have to talk to them. And if somebody emails you and you don't know them, delete it.
Tell them to get out of your phone. Yeah.
And I also wanted to add, I was going to mention something about the bank emails. And one thing you have to be sure of, and they stress this, they'll say, you know, there's been a problem with your account, please click here, blah, blah, blah. We think somebody's hacked into your account, has used your credit card, whatever. Click here. Oh, we need to check on this, so we need to know it's you. Put in your bank card number. Same thing. And I've been told this, and, you know, I've gotten a couple of different things, and I'll call them, and I'm like, okay, did you do... you know, whatever, whatever. No. And they said, we will never, ever ask for your credit card number, your social security number on an email or on a website. So be aware, all financial institutions will tell you that. They will never ask for your credit card number or bank card number on an email and also on a phone call. They will never ask that. So you can be sure if anybody's asking for your credit card number or social security number, I would say 99% of the time, it's a scam.
Yeah, that's a great additional information. And, you know, unfortunately, we're hit from it from all angles, guys. And that's why it's so important, no matter how, if we get phone scams, sex scams, email scams, any type of scams, any type of phishing tactics, any phone calls, anything like that. You know, these scammers who call you up, and they used to be the old ones, and they don't use this as much because I think people have gotten wise, where they'll say, oh, I'm from Microsoft, and we've detected that you have a virus on your computer. Well, how in the world does Microsoft know you have a virus on your computer? Well, they really don't, because they're not Microsoft. They're all over in India and Pakistan and all these other countries, and what they want you to do is basically download remote software that's free, and so they can gain access to your computer. Please, guys, never, ever fall for those types of scams, because all they need to do is get onto your computer and they'll say, oh, we could fix this and it's going to cost that. You give them all this money and they don't do anything. Or even worse, they can start deleting things off your computer or hijack your computer. And, you know, and we're not trying to scare you guys or anything. We just really wanted to give you some great information today so you can protect yourself, whether you get an email, a text, a phone call, or anything else. So we really want you to use every tool and have all the knowledge that you need to protect yourself when we're dealing with our devices. So do we have any more questions in the room? Do we have any questions on Zoom?
We do not have any hands on Zoom.
No hands on Zoom. Okay. Well, first of all, I want to thank everybody here. And I really want you guys here to please give my panelists of our wonderful presenters today from our technology committee a round of applause. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Jason told you a falsehood. We really do want to scare you. But there's something else that I just thought of. There is software out there where I do not know how it's done, because that's technology that's above my pay grade. People can steal phone numbers. My son got a hold of him one day and he wanted to show me. And he said, I want you to watch this, Mom. And pretty soon I get a phone call. My phone says, Richard Sawyer. So I would think it was Richard calling me, but it was not Richard calling me. Now, I don't know what you do about it. I don't know that there's anything that can be done, but it's out there. And it kind of makes you, it's like, who and where do you trust in this world? It's getting real tricky. But there are people out there, so you may get a phone call from someone. Why they would do this, I don't know, because to me, there's really nothing to be gained by doing stuff like that. I find myself wondering, if they have all this energy to do all this bad stuff, why aren't they using it for positive things? Why aren't they getting a good job? I don't know. It's but just that's something else to be aware of.
And I just want to kind of echo what Shelley just said. You know, going on the internet and whatnot is, and when we get phone calls, they're all great. You know, the internet and these other type of areas are great resources and whatnot. But please be smart, be savvy, and be educated, because that's what it's really about. So, again, I know we barely began to scratch the surface. We could have talked about any one of these topics for quite an extensive period of time, but we wanted to try and give you guys as much information as we possibly could in the time that we had to just give you an idea of what's available and how to protect yourself. So with that, I think we're going to go ahead and conclude, unless my panel has anything else they want to throw in with the few minutes we have left. Do we have, any guys have anything really quick?
They say no.
They say no. Okay. All right. Well, thank you guys so much, and enjoy the rest of your day.